Today, we're going to talk about why it sucks to be a software developer. So being a dev is one of the most coveted jobs on the planet. It's super competitive. If you work at a FAANG company, you're making a base salary of oftentimes over $1 million a year. That doesn't include benefits. And yet, devs have one of the highest suicide rates of all professions. They're in the top 10. One study from the UK showed that 83% of developers experience burnout, which is a staggeringly high number. And at one point in 2021, 20% of developers in the world were looking for new jobs because they were unhappy with what they were dealing with. This is something that we call the Great Resignation. So how can we have a profession that, on the one hand, is so coveted, so competitive, is the most prestigious on the planet in a lot of ways, and at the same time is so terrible for people? If you're a dev, you probably know the answer, and that's what we're going to dive into today. So the TLDR of it is that devs are in a very unique position of being set up to fail and then blamed for the failure. And even if you don't fail, if you succeed, that screws you over too. So let's start with this concept of set up to fail. So generally speaking, if you're a dev, you have a scope of work and a timeline in which to accomplish it. So we need this kind of feature to go live, let's say 16 weeks from now. And in other professions, you have these two variables as well. So I'm a medical doctor, which means I have a scope of work. I have to show up to the emergency room to work a shift, and then I have a certain timeline, right? So I'm going to show up on Friday night at 6 p.m. and I'm going to work till Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Scopes and timelines are incredibly common in all professions. The biggest difference for devs is that that scope and timeline changes all the time, right? You have a CEO who heard a podcast with Elon Musk or Sam Altman or someone else who's talking about the benefits of AI, and they show up on Monday morning and they're like, we need to use the AI. Let's do the AI. Or why don't we have this feature in an app? These other people have this feature. Let's build this feature. So dev work is notorious for rapidly changing scopes and rapidly changing timelines. In the worst cases, timelines will get cut in half, or when this product launch is happening in 16 weeks, we want to add a brand new feature. And then this is what really rubs devs the wrong way. This is, I think, really where the burnout, the depression, and the anxiety really come from, is that if you fail to deliver, you're the one who's on the hook, right? So no one is blaming the CEO for 6 weeks out. The CEO wants to add this feature. And when things fall apart, no one is like, hey, we should find a different CEO who doesn't randomly change the scope 6 weeks before we have a product launch. No one is doing that, right? What tends to happen in dev organizations is that shit rolls downhill. You were told to do this work. If you can't deliver, then we need to either use AI or find someone else who can do it. So not only are you set up to fail, you are blamed for failure. But it gets worse, because oftentimes what devs end up doing is not failing, right? Because you guys work really hard, you work weekends, you work extra, you take your work home with you, and then you end up succeeding. And does this mean you get promoted? If you're lucky, the answer is yes. But chances are what this does is changes expectations. Now the CEO is like, showed up 6 weeks ago and was like, hey, we want to add this feature. You grind, you work really hard, and you end up doing it. And then what happens is you adjust the expectations. Now the people around you are expecting rush work, extra work. Since you pulled everything together and actually delivered, they're going to expect you to do that again. So this creates something called an environment of cumulative stress, where stress tends to pile up over time and devs end up feeling burnt out. So this is where a lot of the devs that I've worked with will say like, yeah, this is not something I can do anything about, right? Because no one is going to give the feedback to the CEO that you can't do this sort of thing. But if you pay attention to your work environments, what you will find is that there are two kinds of developers. There are developers who work really hard, work all the time, and sometimes don't even get promoted, get blamed for the failures. And then you'll have some developers who actually work less and will somehow get promoted, will take credit for the work. And this is a huge differential that we see, especially in our coaching program. So a lot of the things that we're going to talk about today, my guess is that you will think, when you hear this, oh, this cannot be done at my job. But there is a big difference between this cannot be done and I don't know how to do it. Because if you look at a population of people who become developers, oftentimes their soft social skills are not things that they have really buffed up or practiced. They don't know how to set boundaries. They think that boundaries can't be set because you have a narcissistic CEO. But there are absolutely senior engineers at these massive companies where you have incredibly narcissistic bosses who are able to be very successful. So if y'all are interested in learning some of those skills, we're going to teach a lot of this stuff to you here and now. But if y'all are interested in like one-on-one feedback for your specific situation, because this may not work for you, then definitely check out the link in the description below for more info on our coaching program. And so this feels like an impossible situation where you're set up to fail. And if you fail, you get blamed. And if you succeed, this becomes the norm. Now we're going to dive further into the fundamental nature of software development work, which predisposes devs to burnout. And once we understand a couple of these fundamental mismatches, it'll give us a road forward for hopefully you to feel a little bit better at work, be a little bit happier, be a little bit healthier, etc. So the first is there is a fundamental mismatch between the type of work and the environment of work in software development. What do I mean by that? So oftentimes the actual process of coding involves deeply cognitive, intensive work. Right. So you sort of have this like vision of what you're programming. You have to sit down. You have to do a bunch of code that sort of fits into all these different things. It's like cognitively incredibly intensive. Then there are a lot of other sort of features of software development work, which burnout shows that these kinds of things decline, like documentation, process adherence, and things like that. Right. So there's a lot of complicated, cognitively intensive work. But the other interesting thing about software development work is that developers are rarely given blocks of time to do that sort of work. So the nature of the work means that we expect you to be on Slack, we expect you to be on Teams, we expect you to respond to messages, respond to emails, we expect you to take calls at midnight your time because the client is in a foreign country halfway across the world, or you are in a foreign country halfway across the world, whatever, right? So there's all kinds of invasiveness that does not involve the actual coding, right? You have meetings at this time, you have to respond to messages at this time, and this creates a fundamental mismatch. So I'll give you all like an example of what a healthier version of this is. And this is what we sort of see. So if I'm like an attorney or a medical doctor, and I've worked with both, right? So I have periods of intensive work, but like no one is expecting me to answer emails when I am actually like in an emergency room seeing patients. So as a physician, I have the luxury, everyone sort of understands that like no one is scheduling a meeting when I have like an overnight shift in the emergency room. But this fundamental mismatch between the type of work and the demands being placed upon you really leads to this sense of cumulative burnout. The second problem is actually something that a lot of people want, which is remote work. So we all love remote work. I work from home. It has the advantages of being pantsless while you are at work. It has the advantage of not commuting, and studies show that if you commute more than 45 minutes one way, it leads to a greater amount of divorce. You know, it gives us so much more free time because now we have 2 hours that we're not sitting in traffic and things like that. So there are a lot of advantages, but this is where, unfortunately, there are a lot of disadvantages to remote work as well. One of the biggest ones is loneliness and isolation. For a lot of people, their ways of socially connecting are actually like with people at work. Instead, what we see so much in our community is like, I'm 32 years old. I don't know how to make friends. I don't know how to meet romantic partners. I kind of work and like, I don't want to commute, but there's a certain cost to remote work. And it's not just in terms of loneliness and isolation. Once you are at home, it stops the barrier between work and home. So when we work with software developers, we see this way too often, where it's like, okay, since my home is my workplace, when does work actually end? And since your work environment allows you to work from home, do they have certain expectations about your responsiveness? So once you start working from home, the luxury of being out of the office declines drastically. The third thing that leads to developers being incredibly depressed and having high suicide rates is, to be blunt, that your colleagues oftentimes suck. So remember that software development oftentimes selects for people who are not great at soft skills, interpersonal skills, things like that. Empathy and EQ tend to be a little bit on the lower side. And so if you're surrounded by people who don't have the empathy to understand what their demands are doing to you, it makes it really hard for you to do your job. If you don't know how to advocate for yourself in the right way and your boss is not really bothering to pay attention because they're not a great manager, that can be really bad for you. So what I've seen time and time again when I work with software developers is that the environment surrounding them is socially like really, really inept, right? People will be brutal with you. People will deliver feedback in very harsh ways. People won't credit you for your work. People won't pay attention to the work that you're doing. People won't be aware that once you do an excellent job and you work all weekend, that they should not expect that from you in the future. So this creates a situation that I see with devs that is almost like, I don't know if y'all have played Darkest Dungeon, but I think this is the best example of like you start this process of software development, right? We call it a sprint or whatever. Ends up being sprint after sprint after sprint that becomes a marathon. And over time, you get more beaten and battered down and your stress actually builds up. There are actually studies that show that the development in software development, the nature of stress is far more cumulative. So you work all weekend and then you pull it out. And then on Monday morning, you don't get like 3 days off because you work 2 days on the weekend. It's on to the next development cycle, on to the next sprint. And now that we've added a feature and gotten away with it, we're going to start adding more features over and over again. And if things don't work out, you're the one who gets blamed. So it's kind of like you start this journey and you're young and you're fresh and you're making a lot of money and yay, you get to work at one of these awesome companies. But over time, you get beaten down, you get battered, you take HP damage, you take stress damage, and then you start to really crumble and crack. And when you crumble and crack, people don't stop and think like, oh, what did we do to create this situation for you? They just end up blaming you for it. And this is the other like really frustrating thing is that oftentimes in software development spaces, you'll also have something that I call the MBA circle jerk. So in your company, you're going to have people who are technical people, right? Like people like engineers who actually do the work. And the layer above them is MBAs doing MBA circle jerk. And they're like, yeah, we're going to optimize AI deliverables and KPIs and this bullshit and that bullshit. They get together. They have meetings all day that they want you in, by the way. But when we're all done with our meetings, they get to jerk each other off and you have to actually go and code. So it's really crazy. But like, and they're not really aware of that, right? So like you have these MBA pencil pusher sort of project manager types that sometimes will like not really do a whole lot. And then we'll take a lot of credit. We'll give themselves pats on the back. We'll get promoted. And then you have like you down below who's doing all of this grinding work. And so one of the things that we try to teach when people come to our coaching program and the reason we make videos like this is we need to teach you some of those MBA circle jerk skills. So here's the first thing you got to learn. So developers tend to be very bad at stress sensing. This isn't just stress management. And a lot of times, you know, what'll happen is the MBA circle jerk will be like, oh, our developers are burnt out. We will get you a subscription to mindfulness app. And since you are burnt out, use the app. Still come work all weekend. You work 18 hours a day. Come to the meeting because I need to feel important. And when you are done working 65 hours a week, you will go home and do meditation for 30 minutes. Do it on your own time. Don't exercise or anything like that. We'll get you maybe gym membership too. But you do it all on your own time. Right? So we have all these like wellness benefits that oftentimes developers can't really take advantage of. So the first thing that we see with developers is that their ability to sense stress is impaired. So oftentimes what you'll be sort of focused on is like, oh my God, I'm so stressed out. And you don't really pay attention to yourself. And good examples of this are oftentimes things like headaches, muscle tightness, GI upset, not eating well, difficulty with sleeping. These are all of the signs of stress building up. But developers don't, we don't really sort of focus on those, right? So devs don't really think about like, okay, if I'm having headaches and trouble sleeping, this is a problem that needs to be fixed. Instead, the most common thing that developers do, and this is what's really damaging, so really pay attention to this, is that you will try to eliminate the source of your stress. So let's understand this, okay? Let's say I'm stressed out about work and my boss comes to me and says, hey, I need this code finished before Monday morning because we have an update that's going out on Monday morning. And I feel really stressed out about this. What I'm going to do is say, oh my God, this is a ton of work. What is the way that I can fix this? I'm stressed out. I have to grind, whatever. Then you think, okay, what I need to do is just do the work, bang out the work, right? So once the work is gone, then my source of stress disappears entirely. Now I've fixed the problem that is causing me stress. So you double down, you work really hard. Now the problem with this is, once again, if y'all have played Darkest Dungeon, you maybe will understand this. So like sometimes in this game, you know, people will, like enemies will do stress damage to you. And when they do stress damage to you, there are kind of two strategies here. One is that you can try to zerg down the enemies that cause stress damage, right? So like if I'm fighting a mob, you can sort of have this like zero healing approach where I'm just going to go all DPS and I'm going to try to destroy the enemy. I'm going to try to grind really hard and finish the task before 3 days of no sleep catches up with me and I fall apart, right? This is the strategy that software developers do. I have this source of stress out there, which is that I have to build this feature. I better build that feature because once I build the feature, then I can relax. But this is analogous to, in a video game, sort of trying to zerg down opponents and not spending turns healing yourself, right? So if we look at like video games, what we know from video games is usually the zerging down strategy may work for like one mob. Like if you have one mob left, you can maybe zerg them down without healing. But generally speaking, the right strategy is to not just eliminate the sources of damage, but to spend some turns actually healing yourself. And those are the ones that actually not only perform better, their code adherence is better, their code quality is better, but they tend to do better, get promoted, and all that other good stuff. And this is what we see in our coaching program is when we teach devs those kinds of skills, it's very specific to you and things like that, that these people tend to do incredibly well. So the first thing that we have to do is learn how to sense stress. So what are the signs that you are actually burning out? The second thing is to address those problems directly, spend a turn healing yourself, instead of just grinding through and trying to zerg down the boss that is this particular task. And this is literally what leads to burnout, because when you zerg down the boss, what happens on Monday? Your boss is not saying, hey, you did a really great job. I think what I'm going to do is talk to the CEO and say, y'all need a break. And we're going to give you a week off. I want you to go to a spa. I want you to go to a yoga class. Take care of yourself. Maybe we're going to get you like a Steam gift card or whatever. Like just have some fun. Relax. You deserve it. That's not what usually happens, right? What usually happens is, yeah, you guys worked really hard. Really great job. We've got a meeting on Monday where there's an MBA circle jerk and they want to talk. They want to spend an hour and a half talking about how y'all did such a great job. That's what we're going to do. They're going to give y'all a gift card to fucking Chili's or Denny's or whatever for $25, and then it's back to work on Tuesday. Like, I have seen this literally happen to people like software developers, okay? So we have to start by learning how to sense stress. There's another thing that people will oftentimes do, so this is kind of highly specific, where if you look at developers who are burnt out, oftentimes what they will do when they are stressed out about a particular task, this is so terrible, is they will replace it with other kinds of work. So they procrastinate on the task that feels overwhelming because it requires a lot of focus time and you keep on getting interrupted with like Slack notifications and meetings and things like that. So there's this big feature that you need to dive into and build. And so research shows that what a lot of developers will do to deal with that overwhelming sense of stress is to do easy work. So I know this sounds kind of crazy, but like people will do things like junior code review. I don't even know exactly what that is, but that's what the research shows. So they will sort of like end up dealing with work like in different ways. So they'll do other kinds of small tasks, catch up on emails, but they kind of like they're stressed out about this sort of work, which then is sort of like dealing, it's like dot damage, right? Because you have this big project looming over your head. And then what happens is you end up spending 3 days at the office doing a lot of stuff that isn't actually super important, allows you to procrastinate on the work, but is still work. So this is another pattern that I want you all to pay a lot of attention to. So what are the signs of your stress? When you feel stressed out, what are the things that you do to alleviate that stress? Do you grind extra hard? Do you distract yourself with other less important tasks that make you feel good? And this is where you really need to do a lot of introspection to sort of figure out what is going on here. The next thing that we're going to talk about is actually kind of surprising. Y'all are going to hate me for this. There's one thing that if you look at developers that say, my job is stressful or my job is not stressful, there's one variable that separates these two people. And the variable is going to blow your mind. It is how familiar they are with things like the employee handbook and resources provided by HR. So remember that the MBAs that are circle jerking the wellness stuff. So it turns out, I know it's insane, that not all of these people are idiots. And it turns out that the people in your HR department, some of them are actually really dedicated. especially if you're at a prestigious company and they work really hard. They're the best in their field. And literally, there is research that shows that what separates devs who are happy with where they work and unhappy with where they work, one of the biggest variables is awareness of employee benefits. So I know this is crazy. This is going to be super concrete advice. But what I strongly encourage y'all to do is read the employee handbook, go to HR and ask them, hey, I'm feeling kind of like under the crunch, or I'm feeling a little bit burnt out. What resources are available? And I've been on the other side of this, okay? So there are these things called employee assistance programs. I've sort of done some work with EAPs. One of my mentors was huge at the EAP program at Massachusetts General Hospital. So this is like a Harvard Medical School hospital where, you know, all kinds of like prestigious companies would come and seek medical care there. And it's actually provided by their employer. So doing work in addiction psychiatry, you know, if someone has a drinking problem, by the way, there's a bunch of research that shows that another unhealthy method that software developers use to cope with stress is cannabis use. So, you know, you got to kind of get high to decompress and whatever. But like, this is where I know it sounds really stupid, but like, just read your employee handbook and go talk to HR. And it turns out that there may actually be really good resources at your disposal that you can take advantage of. And sort of going through the HR route, I think is also can be incredibly helpful. So a lot of people are worried that if I complain to HR, or I say, hey, HR, I'm burning out, that like this will give you a red flag. But oftentimes I find that it's the other way around, right? Because like, I don't know if this kind of makes sense, but when you're getting promoted, there's going to be oftentimes an HR professional in there. And the HR professionals are like, they're in this corner where they don't get as much respect as the CTOs and the CFOs and the CMOs, right? They don't get as much respect as the CEOs. Like, people tend to shit on HR. So if people engage with their services, they tend to be really strong advocates for the people who are like, yeah, you know, this person is like really engaged. They came to me. They're really focusing on like being more productive and things like that. They will oftentimes be an advocate for you. And this is one of those really simple EQ skills that if you're a software developer and you spend a lot of time on Reddit or your social media of choice, generally speaking, there is pooping on the HR department. But these people can be your allies. And I can assure you that the people who get promoted and the people who tend to do really well are taking advantage of these resources. Now, there is a concern, and I think this is a valid concern, that a lot of these wellness resources are not really designed for your wellness, but are your employer's way to extract as much productivity from you as possible. And I've seen this as well in the EAP program when I've done some work there, where like sometimes, you know, employers would come to me with employees and they're like, hey, we want you to patch this person up so that we can send them into the grinder again. Very common at places like investment banks. So that can happen. And I've seen some really insidious versions of this. So there was one company that was using, I think, the Microsoft Viva to had cameras that were measuring employees like facial expressions and posture, and like they were watching you while you work and were feeding all that data into like an AI algorithm to isolate and determine who is burnt out, who's depressed, who's anxious. There's kind of this big data, big brother kind of stuff happening that presumably was being used to try to detect, this is how it was originally labeled. They used this technology to detect early signs of burnout so that employers could intervene and kind of support you in that. So I think there's a lot of good reason why people feel paranoid about a lot of these wellness things, right? And I've seen bad versions of this, which is like, meditate, here's a subscription to a meditation app. This should just fix the burnout. And now we give ourselves a pat on the back and we give ourselves a promotion. And I get that. But in my overwhelming experience, there is a range of support resources available at work. And the most common thing that I see in software developers is that they're not even aware of it, right? So before you decide ahead of time that HR is crap and your employee handbook is worthless and you have no employee resources, do yourself the favor of like not drinking the Reddit Kool-Aid and like actually take a look at that stuff, because there may be something really useful for you there. So software development is one of the hardest jobs out there, primarily because a lot of people aren't really aware of the stress that they're putting on you. You're put in this situation where you're set up to fail, blamed for the failure, and even if you succeed, people will often demand more for you. This is exacerbated by the fact that software developers oftentimes don't take care of themselves. Their solution to fixing their stress is solving the problem that is creating the stress. But then this can sort of lead to a cumulative buildup of stress. So what I strongly recommend that you'll do is, first of all, be aware of the signs of your stress. Try to target those directly. And one of the key things that is actually shown is that software developers who try to learn about themselves and wellness by doing things like reading self-help books, watching YouTube videos like this, this actually does lead to a stress improvement, productivity improvement. So this is great. So like, learn about yourself, learn about your stress, and then be super careful about zerging down the problem, because that'll probably lead to burnout over time. And the last thing is, I know it sounds crazy, but give HR a chance and read the employee handbook. Hey y'all, hope you enjoyed today's video. We talk about a bunch of topics like this on the channel, so be sure to subscribe for more. If you're already subscribed, GG, and we'll see you in chat.